Good. I'm Charles Foster. I was a World War II veteran. I served from 1942 through 1945. I'm retired from the Department of Education in Jefferson City, Missouri.
Go ahead and grab some.
I'm retired again from the Highway Patrol. I taught 18 years of DARE program, teaching police officers how to teach DARE in the schools. Finally retired at 88, and I'm now 98 years old.
You're 98?
Yes.
You look great for 98. So do you live in Jefferson City still?
I live in Jefferson City, yes.
Okay. So you're a World War II veteran.
Yes.
And talk to me a little bit about why it was important for you to come here today. And have you been to any of these before? Is this your first one?
This is my first one. I did not know they did this. So I was not aware of this Military Appreciation Day.
So why was it important for you to come here today then?
Well, when Natalie contacted me, that was the first time I knew about it. And I thought, if they're recognizing the military, I served in the military and I would like to come and see what goes on. And I've been impressed with this program now today.
Very good. It went on for quite some time. I thought it was very impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So talk to me a little bit about your getting involved in the military as a young guy.
My best friend was killed at Pearl Harbor. He and I had gone to college together, and he, at the end of the first semester at Missouri State, he said, I'm going to join the Navy. He said, I'm going to be a farmer when I get out, and they're not teaching me anything about farming. And I tried to talk him out of it because I thought, I didn't think about Japan. I said, you know, the Germans have got U-boats all over the ocean out here in the Atlantic. I said, and you're going to be in the Navy? I said, you're going to be a target. I don't want you to do that. He said, no, I'm going to do it. And so he did. And so then he was killed at Pearl Harbor. And so I wanted to enlist. Well, you had to be 21 to enlist. And my folks would not sign it. They thought it was too dangerous. But my dad was pretty smart. On May the 1st, he said, if you'll come home and spend a couple weeks, we'll sign the papers. Well, so I went in on May the 14th. My birthday was on the 24th, just 10 days before that. He knew I was going to go. So he agreed to sign the papers, you see, and so on. Then I went to Fort Leonard Wood for my basic training. And from there I went to California, trained to be a B-25 bomber crew chief. But when I left the States January the 13th, 1943, my records were on a different boat. U-boats were all over there and we were zigzagging. They sunk the boat my records were on. And so I got to Africa and I had no records. And so I didn't get paid for 6 months after I was over there because there's no records. And I'm kind of a man without a country. And they expected 63% of them to be killed on the invasion there in Africa with the flights. And I was going as a replacement, and only about 1.5% were killed. And here I am with no record, and so I just went into the infantry. And so we get up to Oran, and we're cleaning up the airport so they can land. A-25th engineers said, we would like to have a man come and work in the office. I thought, oh my, this would be a lot better than out here working on this. And I had 2 years of college and I could do shorthand, typing, bookkeeping. And so I volunteered, so did 9 other guys. But since I could do all those, I got the job. And so then they wanted to transfer me. Couldn't do it, no records. Had to go back to the infantry. And we finally got to Algiers. And Algiers, the commanding officer there noticed my college degree and he let me be in charge of the airport and take care of all the incoming flights and the luggage and all of the armaments and things like that. Finally, my records replacement came. I got paid, and I'm a man in the Army now. And all this before is just almost non-existent, you know, because there's no record of me. And then, so while I was running that airport, I got to meet General Eisenhower and Winston Churchill, shake their hands. that was just wonderful thing for me to get to do. Just had a great time. Then some of our men were, there were 13 of us and our records were lost, and all of us would be crew chiefs. They transferred 12 of them, not me staying there. One of them came back and he said, "Foster, if you can get in this outfit," he said, "it's really a good outfit." So I went with him to his commanding officer and asked him, "Could you take another man?" He said, "Well, yes, if you can get transferred." I put in for transfer, and the captain of my outfit, he said, "Why are you asking for a transfer?" He said, "I'm treating you royally." He said, "You run the airport." He said, "You don't stand guard duty. You don't have to be on KP, anything like that." I said, "You got kind of banker's hours." I said, "I agree." I said, "Uncle Sam spent $100,000 training me to be a crew chief, and I really thought if I could get in this outfit, I could do it." He said, "I'll grant your transfer." So I got into the 360th Air Depot group. And then that saved my life, because the group I was with were all killed going into Normandy. So that was P. Ritter coming back getting me, saved my life. And then we went from there, we went to Sicily, and we went to Sardinia, and then our outfit split up and we went to Corsica, and I was in the group that landed first into Corsica, and got over there and I was put on KP.
And you were put on what?
KP, that's kitchen duty.
Oh, okay.
And the cook was dead drunk, passed out.
Oh, jeez.
And I thought, well, the men have got to eat. And so I checked with the other KPs, and they didn't know a thing about cooking. And I had worked in a cafe for about a year before this. And so I looked around, and I gave each one an assignment, told them how to cook it. And then I found some dried apples. And I thought, oh, I'm going to make cobbler for the guys. And so I put those, and that was my downfall. They loved that. And here we are, we're separated from our real outfit, you know. But the first sergeant, acting first sergeant, came out and he said, "Which one of you men's Foster?" And I said, "I am." He said, "The men really like that meal." I said, "I don't know anything about cooking. I want to get back on the line." And so he just, when I said that, he just turned around and walked off. Then the acting commanding officer came out. He said, "Which one of you men's Foster?" And I said, "I am, sir." He said, "I'm making you a cook. Semi-permanent." 9 days later, he said, "I'm making you the mess sergeant here for this outfit." So then when the rest of our outfit got there and a real mess sergeant came, I thought, oh boy, I'm going to get out of this. And so I'm showing the mess sergeant everything that we have. And the real commanding officer came in and he said, "Saul, do you want to be a mess sergeant here?" And he said, "Well, yes, sir." He said, "There's a man named Foster. The men have lined up at my tent and want to make him mess sergeant." I got out of there as fast as I could. Because he didn't remember me, you know, he just seen me the one time. And I went out in the mess kit to wash my mess kit, and he came out. He said, "Which one of you men's Foster?" And I said, "I am, sir." He said, "Step out of the line." "Yes, sir." He said, "I'm making you a head cook right now." And I said, "Sir, I don't like your cooks." He said, "What's wrong with them?" I said, "They're drunks." I said, "I'd like to have sober men work with me." He said, "The men like you so well, I'll let you select the cooks that you want to have served with you." And then later on, he made me the mess sergeant.
How long did you do that?
And I did that until I was discharged. In fact, when they discharged me from that outfit, they sent me to a trucking company to send me home. And I had 87 points, and they were discharging all that had 85. And here I am over here serving this trucking group as our mess sergeant, and I read in the Stars and Stripes that all the men with 85 points were home and discharged. And I'm sitting in Italy. And I just took the Stars and Stripes up to the first sergeant, and I said, "I want you to read this." And he read it, and he said, "Well, so what?" I said, "So I have 87 points." I said, "I'm going on vacation. I'm going to go home." I said, "I'm not going to cook anymore." Well, he said, "Don't tell me." And I said, "You're the first sergeant." Wasn't long till the commanding officer came down. He said, "Do we have a problem?" I said, "Yes, you do." And I said, "I want to go home." I said, "The Stars and Stripes says we're all discharged. And here I sit in Italy." And I said, "I've been over here 3 years. I've never seen." I said, "Since I said goodbye to my mother and dad, I've never seen a soul I've known for 4 years now." And So he said, let me go over to headquarters and see if I can get a mess sergeant. He called back and he said, they don't have one. I said, well, that's your problem. Make one. I thought I could be court-martial here. But he said, okay, we'll make one. So they sent me down to Naples and sent me right home. And I left on November the 1st. We got into a hurricane, and one ship was sunk. And I thought the admiral thought we were going to be sunk. He said to us, get your life jackets on. He said, we went 42 degrees. If we go over 48, we go over. I thought, I've been through a war, and I'm going to die out here in a hurricane. But we weathered it. And so I got home, and it was really a wonderful thing. They just worked us all night long getting us out, put me on a train to head to Kansas City. And so...
So about how long were you serving in the mess hall throughout different titles? Was it a couple years then? Or
About 2 years.
About 2 years, okay.
Probably 18 months.
And how many times did you serve that cobbler that everybody liked?
I did some things that the guys really liked. When we got Corsica, we got the Germans all out of Corsica. And so there were a lot of deer over there.
Oh.
And I had one of my cooks was an excellent shot. And he and I went deer hunting, and we would furnish the men with fresh meat. And then we also discovered a lot of great big sea bass in the Mediterranean there. And we shot them, and we fed them fish. And they loved that fresh meat, you know.
That's like farm to table right
yeah.
there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we had an experience with that fishing. We took a couple of belly tags, put them together with a board, and got a light, went down there at night. And we didn't tell anybody. And we got down there, and they started shooting at us. And I said to Fritz, I said, we need to get back under that bluff. I said, they're practicing with their guns. And I said, they're getting awful close to us. And so we pulled in under a bluff, and they stopped shooting. I said, well, maybe they're through practicing now. So we pulled back out, or they start shooting again. And so I said, we got to get out of here. We're going to get killed. We get back up, the whole outfit was in battle array. And the commanding officer, when he found out what we were doing, he was so mad at me. He said, the guards thought that the Germans were starting a counterattack. They thought the submarines were landing. Your light showed all over those waves and said it looked like a whole bunch of people. And we thought it was soldiers, German soldiers. He said, why didn't you tell us you were going down there? We could have killed you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man, he was really angry.
Yeah. So you were in the Army, and you were a crew member. You were a flight crew member for a period of time.
Yes.
And you also were a mess hall sergeant. Is that
yes.
what you said?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure I got your titles correct and everything. So the military obviously saw that you had a lot of experience to help out in a variety of different ways. How long did you serve then in the military?
I was I went over the 13th of January in 43.
43.
And I came home. Yeah. I left Naples the 1st of November, 1945.
45.
I got back 24th of November.
So you served 3 full years. And okay, I didn't know if you served at all when you got back or not, but that was the end of it.
That
okay.
was the end of it.
Okay, got it.
I was awarded 3 bronze battles. Stars while I was over there. Well, I guess you saw all the awards I had, things up there.
But,
airplane. And then they would be shooting at it, and every fifth shot was a tracer, and it was like a shooting star going up for that airplane.
Yeah.
And I got so enthused with what they were doing, I got out of my foxhole. And that was a bad mistake. And I went off a piece of shrapnel, hit my helmet, and I thought it was going to break my neck. But it didn't get me, it just got my helmet. I didn't have any trouble staying in the foxhole after that.
Good for you. Lesson learned,
yeah,
right?
One of my buddies went to get in his foxhole and he noticed a little blood in there. And so he's kind of holding his rear end up and he got shot right through the buttocks. He said, I didn't have any trouble getting back in that blood after that.
So what was your best friend's name?
Fritz. His name was Ivan Helt, but we called him Fritz. He was the best shot I ever saw, and I was so glad to have him as my buddy. I could throw a 50 caliber machine gun shell up in the air, and he could burst it in the air with his rifle. And he killed lots of deer.
So this is the one that was killed at Pearl Harbor?
No.
Oh, this was, okay.
This was my buddy in the Army.
Oh, and you're, okay. Yeah. What about the one who was your best friend that was killed in?
He was Charles Thompson.
Charles Thompson. Same name as you.
And yes, and that's probably why we ended up being such good friends, having first names the same. And we went to college together. In fact, his uncle drove us together. And so we were down there that whole first semester. But he told me, he said, I want to be a farmer. He grew up on a farm. And he said, I want to be a farmer. Now, he did not, his mother died when he was 3. And his dad left and went to California to a job. And his dad, his uncle and his wife raised him. And so when he was killed, they couldn't identify, he was a missing in action person. They couldn't identify anybody. Well, summer before last, summer before this, his niece, who never saw him, she sent her DNA to Ancestry.com. And she got a call from the Navy in Washington, and they said, you have matched up with your uncle, and we're going to bring him back for a funeral. Well, then her brother called me, and he said, you were his best friend. He said, we want you to attend the funeral. I said, great, I'll be glad to. Then about 2 or 3 weeks later, he called, and he said, hey, I thought we were just going to have a grade 5 service. He said, an admiral's coming, and he said, they're going to put on a big deal here. He said, I want you to give the eulogy. I said, oh, my man. And so I did.
Was this 2016?
And that was, yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. Wow. That's amazing. You had gone all that time.
Yeah. So here, I know when I gave it, I said, now, I'm 96 years old. I said, he would have been 96 years old if he were alive.
Yeah. So you enlisted... you had not planned on doing that.
No.
Initially, you tried to talk your best friend out of it.
Yes.
What did you want to do? Did you know at that point?
I was studying to be a teacher.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was my goal. And then when I came back, I decided I didn't want to be a teacher. I was going to. I started operating. Started building a frozen food locker plant and slaughterhouse. And the superintendent kept coming around and saying, "We need a teacher." And I just had 2 years of college. And he said, "We need a teacher and a coach." And I played basketball in college and high school. And so he said, "I said I've had no training as a coach." He said, "You played 4 years in high school, 2 years in college, and so I can get you a certificate." And so I kept saying, I'm building a locker plant. And I wasn't getting lumber and steel. And he said, you're not getting any lumber and steel, and you're just sitting here. He said, don't you feel any obligation to this community? I thought, ooh, that's a low blow. But I thought about it, and I thought, I do have some obligation. So I said, okay, I'll sign a contract. And so in the middle of the school year, I get the locker plant all built. I have to hire somebody and pay him more money than I'm making. But I was really enjoying the teaching, and the kids were relating to me, and I was just having a great time. At the end of the year, they wanted me to sign a contract again, and I wanted to. I asked my manager if he wanted to continue, and he said yes. And then after 4 years of this, I moved to Eldorado Springs, and at the end of the year, I thought, I cannot afford this. They don't pay enough. So I bought another locker plant. And told the superintendent, I said, I'm going to go run the business. And he said, when September rolls around and the school bell rings and you're not a part of it, how are you going to feel? I'm up at Osceola, Missouri, looking for a house to rent. I kept hearing the bell ring in my mind. Finally, I kept running back. I said, where's the contract? I'll hire another manager. And I did, and then... I never did run the locker plant, either one of them.
Really? Wow.
I just enjoyed the teaching, and I taught for 10 years, and then they asked me to come to the Department of Education in Jefferson City. So I was a state director there of guidance and counseling, career education, statewide testing, and psychological testing. And so I retired, and then I went to the university for 6 years, and then I retired again. And I was retired a couple of years and really enjoying it. My wife and I had gone to Canada and spent 6 weeks, and we'd flown to Hawaii, just having a good time. Then the department called me and they said, the Highway Patrol wants an educator to teach the police officers who want to teach there in the schools. And I was nearly about 70 years old, and I thought, I'm too old. And I'd had some professors who were too old, and they didn't know it. And I didn't want to be one of those. And so I'd never heard of DARE either. And so I said, well, send me some material. So they sent it. In fact, I was not planning to do it. I was just going to pick up the phone and say thank you, but no thank you. But my wife was an elementary teacher, and she got the mail. And she read that stuff. And I got home, she said, this is good, and you need to do it. And I said, I think I'm too old. She said, no, you're not. You talk to them. So I talked to them, to the Highway Patrol. And I told them, I said, I think I'm too old. They said, let's make a deal. You try it one time. If you think you're too old, take a walk. Or if you don't like it, take a walk. But we will also evaluate you. And if we think you're too old, we'll tell you to take a walk. I said, okay, I'll agree to that. And so I taught in Kansas City. So I taught all day Monday, 8 hours. And, oh, I was tired. And I went to my hotel room and laid down. Pretty soon, knock on the door. There was a patrolman. They said, the deal's off. No walking. No, don't you even think of walking. We want you. So 18 years later, I retired in 88.
Wow. And I'm like, that's awesome.